Okay, praise the Lord, that started. And we got to lower that always. It's just one of those things. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then we'll put up the study. And we're going to blow the trumpet right now on the Sabbath. Well, thank everyone for being here today. It's nice to have everybody in front of me today. It's nice. And there's little Ethan. Ethan, don't hope Ethan's appearance there doesn't is not impressed upon everybody because he looks nice and sleepy. We're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabad Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. I'm looking for the guests. We're just a little piece of the Israel of God. We're on Maple Street, South Maple Street, Holenwall, Holenwald. Yeah. There's our phone numbers. There's my email. And our website is working great. We put together a whole new server and loaded all the new Debian and configured the whole thing. And it was like, thank God I could remember it all. But anyway, it's running really good. So let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, first we always ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from a holy living God. Bless and anoint this day, Father. I pray you'll touch everyone here, touch everyone on the internet, in the body of Messiah throughout the world. Increase our faith, give us wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and the fear of God. I pray, Lord and God, that you'll truly lead, guide, and direct every one of us in every endeavor that we encounter in our lives, knowing that time just goes so fast, Father, and we have this little lifespan is swift. I pray that we could restore your Sabbath and other items in the scriptures to people as much as we can. And I pray, Lord and God, you'll show us where the guests are. We'll go get them or bring them to us, Heavenly Father. And I thank you for the website and everything you give us. And may God heal everyone here that's anything that's wrong with you or whether you know it or not. May God touch you and may God always give us his Holy Spirit. And I thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and for the Word of God. And may God be with you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today is June 3rd, 2017, the 21st century. We're still here. Little Ethan, he'll be 83 when the 22nd century comes. We'll be gone. But you guys might be here. Right? You'll be old. No. Anyway, June is just a goddess, you know? It's really, isn't that weird how we say the name June so easily and it's just a goddess? Yeah, she's a big weasel. She's the principal goddess of the Roman Pantheon. And Pantheon is the most preserved and influential building of ancient Rome. It is a Roman temple dedicated to all the gods of pagan Rome. That's the Pantheon. She's the goddess of marriage and of well-being of women. She's the wife of the sister of Jupiter, and she's identified with the other Greek god, Hera. They have all these female gods. Isn't that terrible? We say that name so easily. However, most people don't even know that we're in the third month of God, called Sivan, the seventh day. And that could easily be found in Esther chapter 8, verse 9. And there's the little, you parse that down to the little word Siv, you know. And that means bright, splendid. It's nice. And it really is bright, bright and splendid out there. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up topics and subjects maybe you're not familiar with or you haven't encountered yet. I'd like to undelete some for you. I thank God my server's running, so now you could read them again, listen to them, watch them again. You could download them again. I believe we're streaming on RealPlayer at the moment. We're in also a PowTalk room, one of these social media situations. If you ever want me to come and join you for the teaching of the Hebrew roots of the faith pertaining to the scriptures, I'd be glad to do that. If you're local, just call me. If you're out of town, there's a link there. You could always schedule me in. Well, just a little reminder, I'm sure everyone here knows, but for anyone who's listening, tomorrow will be June 4th, Sunday, and that's also a Sabbath.
Yay.
Yes, and that's going to be the Feast of Weeks. Chag Shavuot, Chag HaKatzir, and Pentecosti. There it is. It's got three names, isn't it? Interesting. And it's offering time, of course. We don't like to appear before God empty. We always bring an offering to God. Whatever you have, doesn't matter. Three times in a year we do it, right? There it is right there. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Harvest, which is what we're doing tomorrow. That's the Feast of Harvest. And then going towards the end of the year, the Feast of Ingathering, which is known as the Feast of Tabernacles. There it is right there. And we always we appear before God. And if you don't have any males that bring the offering, I guess you females can also. So anyway, it's been an interesting... It feels like I just started this, but 7 weeks have passed. From slaves, the spiritual thought of being from Egypt to the people of God, you know. 7 week journey. And if you just look back 7 years of what you've done in your life, think about how quick that went. 7 weeks just went. And a lot of things transpired. Some people had babies. Some people sold houses. Some people had owned houses. Some people, whatever happened in your life. But a lot of things happened in the last 7 weeks. So praise Yah. How did you do? So today's topic, did you tarry or did you leave? You know, it's sad that some people have left us, even this feast. And they've taken their children with them, and other people have left. And it's amazing. The feasts always separate us from people. You ever notice that? I've been saying that for a long time. So did you remember who you are? And sometimes we forget because you get caught up in the day. It says, for thou art a holy people unto Jehovah thy God, and Jehovah had chosen you to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Wow. He could have chose one of your brothers or sisters or one of your relatives, but he chose you. And Jehovah had avouched thee this day to be a peculiar people, you know, as he had promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. So that's our righteousness. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So isn't that amazing? It says in so many places. That's what we're supposed to be. You know, there's no more Levitical priesthood, but we're priests unto God and a holy nation. And Peter even echoes these words of the Torah. He says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's segula, you know, we're a precious gem to God. That you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. It really is amazing that, you know, a lot of times we take for granted that, you know, here we are keeping the commandments and know about the Sabbath and many other things of God. But it really is amazing because just think, people that are so close to you, your relatives or your friends or your work fellows, they have no knowledge of this. They have no... Matter of fact, I bet where you live, across the street from the Pentecostals, they don't even know tomorrow's Pentecost. You ought to put a big sign up, Pentecost, and it's a Sabbath. Paul tells Titus, Yeshua gave himself for us. That's something we should never forget. that we might that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purge unto himself a peculiar people. And we're supposed to be zealous of good works. Amen. Everybody we come in contact with, we test, you know, we throw a little word of God out, see if it, you know, sticks a little bit. And if it does, we proceed. If it doesn't, we just change the subject, because then we know God's not there. You can't force the issue. So we're the temple of the living God. That's really amazing. And the light of the world. We really are the only means of light out there, because everywhere you look, there's no God. You know, I don't know if you keep current with the news, so many atrocities and killings and murder and so many things are going on in the news that, you know, sometimes it's surreal unless you, you know, you keep current with current events. Then you see all the atrocities going on. It's like, you just thank God it doesn't come near us, you know. Different places, people being shot right off their decks, and, you know, in Alabama and Mississippi and Chicago and, of course, California, all kinds of nightmares are going on, and so many things. New York, I'm sure. But anyway, we're restorers of the word. And we're just like, I hope we're just like the apostles and Yeshua and Saul. They all observe these holy days, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, and the a lot of people don't even recognize the Feast of Weeks is in the Gospels. It's called Pentecost because that's the Greek word. And there's a link there you can click on if you'd like to see that later, all the strength feasts of God and the letters. So Saul, he observed Pentecost right here in the book of Acts. Most people don't even understand this is the Feast of Weeks. He says, when the day of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, was fully come, they were all one accord in one place. That's all the apostles were there. I should say Paul was in Acts 20. He determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, that's Asia Minor, for he hasted, if it was possible for him, to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks. So most people don't even recognize that here it is, one of the feasts of God, one of the three, I guess they call them pilgrimage feasts, you know, or holy feasts of God, that even Paul couldn't wait to get there when there was a temple. And then he tells the Corinthians the same thing. He says, I must tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, Feast of Weeks. So people that don't think that you have to do the, you know, and you might say, well, I always look at this and I always think of the things people tell us. Well, that was completed. What are you doing that for? Well, these guys are doing it. Paul's doing it a few thousand years after the fact, too, when it was really done. Why is he still doing Feast of Weeks? Right? So obviously it's something that you do in memorial, which is a real feast of God. So when people go, well, that's been completed. No. Why is Apostle Paul doing this? And this is after the resurrection. You know what I mean? So I don't know why Christians don't even see that. Some people tell me that they keep the seventh-day Sabbath, but the other Sabbaths, holy days and feasts, are over. Wrong. And then, of course, this has been a chapter, that now that it's made into chapters, a piece of a letter to the Colossians by Saul. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, and they're shadows of things to come, future tense, but the body is of Messiah. And if you don't know about that teaching, you can click on that link right there. You could watch this link to clear up that whole perversion that people, they really perverted that verse. I still can't figure out how they turned it into don't judge me, brother. Because it's a letter, Paul cautioning the Colossians. You know, when you get a letter, you have to, you know, being that we're jumping in the middle of a conversation, you have to sort of try to understand what exactly is being said, to whom it's being said, and who's doing the speaking, and what is the subject matter. And once you dissect everything correctly, you can see Paul's cautioning the Colossians of people that would come into the congregation and pervert the word of God. But if you don't read that, then you just fall into someone's made-up story that they make up. So tarrying is a very important word, you know. And it's like waiting, you know. It's like patiently enduring something. So we have Luke 24, now upon the first day of the week, which is known as Sunday. Very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Yeshua. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. I wonder if those were the same two men that were in the book of Acts. Two men stood there. But anyway, they always seem to show up. In the world, they have the men in black, but we have the men in shiny... anyway, shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Amen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. It's interesting to do a study on the third day, too, because the third day, of course, turned out to be the first day of the week. So don't mix that up. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, the first woman preacher there, and Joanna, and Miriam, the mother of James, that's Yeshua's mother, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So all these women are the ones that were there. They were brave enough to go there. Isn't that amazing? And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. That's terrible. The apostles, that shows you they were spiritually deaf. That all the time Yeshua told them he's going to rise from the dead, and it's going to be the third day. And that shows how people need to be converted, you know, and really understand what's being said. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Peter, and behold, two of them went the same day into a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all the things, of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Yeshua himself drew near and went with them. Imagine how that must have felt. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he's walking right with them. Wow. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass within these days? And he said unto them, what things? He's testing them. And they said unto him, concerning Yeshua of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But they had the wrong idea. But we trust that it should be he which should have redeemed Israel. That's not why he came. You know, he brought a different redemption through salvation, you know. He wasn't going to be the big warrior savior, you know, saving from the Roman Empire. And beside all these things, today's the third day since these things were done. So they knew it was the third day. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished when we were early in the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. Whew. Praise the Lord. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. And then, of course, Yeshua, because he probably could not understand how nobody understood all the teachings he did about him raising from the dead the third day, and that he would rise from the dead, and that would be the means of salvation. He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They didn't even believe the words of the prophets. Ought not Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses from the Torah and all the prophets, I wish I was there, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wow. Now, no one had an MP3 player then. No one recorded it, but you could just imagine, wow. They drew near nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is now toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. Wow. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it. And he broke it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he just vanished out of their sight. Wow, wow. Praise the Lord. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and they and them that were with them, saying, the Lord, Yeshua, is risen indeed and had appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. See, breaking of bread was a sign that the Messiah always did of showing camaraderie and showing that we're all in this together. He did it everywhere. And as they thus spoke, Yeshua himself stood in the midst of them, and they said, and he said unto them, peace be unto you. Amen. That's the real Shalom Aleichem. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They still didn't believe. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? I know all your hearts and all your thoughts. Okay, he says, behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit had not flesh and bone, as you see me have. So a typical spirit doesn't have this supernatural flesh, which is also spiritual, that we're all going to have one day. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? Do you have any food? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, the law that I gave Moses, the Torah, and in the prophets and in all the writings, the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, and that they might understand the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Wow. So it's God who gives understanding. That's why we have to pray for understanding and discernment. And he's the same God today. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's just invisible. He might be right next to you. And he said unto them, "It is thus it is written, and thus it behooved Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you now are witnesses of these things." Praise the Lord. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, until you be converted also." And he led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was departed from them and carried into heaven, carried up into heaven. And not into this heaven, but into the spiritual, whatever that is, spiritual, whatever you want to call it, place called heaven. Wow. The cloud receives him. And they worshiped him. So he was God. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's beautiful to have this this record that someone left that we could read almost 2,000 years later. Otherwise, we'd have no knowledge of this. Isn't it beautiful? That's why leaving a record of who you are and what you believe and what you've done and is very important. So tarrying, waiting upon God is all through Psalms. Then we have many years later, after Yeshua died and rose from the dead, and then we have the book of Acts, the history, little history. The former trees have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. He did everything until the day he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, just like he chose you, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. In other words, this can be proved before a court with a jury, and there's evidence, and there's actual witnesses, and they were alive at this point. The apostles that saw him raised from the dead, real witnesses, infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Wow. He was with them 40 days. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait from the promise of the Father, which said, he, you have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, they still were back in this old mindset. Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel from the Roman Empire? He said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Don't worry about these things. But think about what I'm telling you. You're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Praise the Lord. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men, there's those two men. I don't know if they were in shining garments there, but there's the two men. They stood by them in white apparel. Sounds like angel types. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? The same Yeshua, the same person that you knew, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He's going to come back in the clouds. Whew. Could you imagine witnessing any of this? I mean, we just could read about it. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter, obedient, James, obedient, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. They were all obedient. They went there. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Yeshua, and with his brethren. Yeshua's brethren. I wonder if they finally came over and believed. No? One accord. Praying with one accord. Together. Isn't that beautiful? The Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. That's what we all have, is the Spirit of Truth. That's why I call ourselves spiritual forensic detectives, because we want the evidence, the truth. Yeshua are one. He that seen me had seen the Father, and obviously Yeshua is the Holy Spirit, and they're all one, which I know confuses a lot of people. Anyway, we rejoice on this because we do tarry and wait for God in a spiritual Jerusalem, you know, a spiritual place, so we can be endued with power from on high. That's really important. Brother John says, and he says, Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Amen. Spirit of truth. I will not leave you comfortless. He says, Yeshua says, I will come to you. He is the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know it's hard to understand all that. One day we'll understand the fullness of what that all means. Well, it says, yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. So he that hath my commandments and keeps them, those are the ones that love me. And he shall be loved, or they shall be loved of me, and shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And then, of course, there was another Judas there. Not Iscariot, not from Iscariot, okay? And not Judas from Iscariot. He said, Lord, how is it thou wilt manifest thyself to us, not to the world? Yeshua answered and said unto him, Judas, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father, which will love him and will come unto him, and we will come unto him, make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. A lot of people don't understand that everything Yeshua said was from the Father. You know, that was the Father doing the works right through that mortal body, you know, that Yeshua had to endure. I mean, could you imagine an infinite God going into a human body and feeling all the pain and the sufferings and all the, especially the whole death he went through, and all the agony and just everything that we go through? He's very aware of what you go through, because that's why he says, you know, he could save to the uttermost. He knows everything that we went through or go through, because he became one of us. Otherwise, he'd never know, because he was infinite, immortal. But he became one of us so he could actually understand us. Isn't that beautiful? These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace, shalom, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, not that fake baloney peace out there, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I at this moment, because I'm still on this earth. And now, I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. You see, having the Spirit of truth, I can brush over those scriptures and understand them. A lot of people can't understand that. But I could just brush right over that Yeshua says, the Father is greater than I. That's because he was on this earth. He was still a person. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, the devil, comes and had nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So Yeshua kept his Father's commandments, which is really important. Rejoicing is very important. Tarrying. Waiting for God all the time for things. And you can't go faster than God. God knows exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it, the way you need it. Don't think, well, why is this happening? Or how come I never get an answer? Or how come? Believe me, God knows every one of us. He sees every one of us. Sometimes we have to get ourselves out of the way so God could move. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So, you know, I know we're not too popular in this world. You know, sometimes I think, my wife and I, we sit at our house here, and I think, gosh, where's all the friends? Not that many. But we have true brothers and sisters, which makes it more comforting. So if the world really hates us, it says, if you were of the world would love you. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So if you think why all of a sudden you're not so popular, or not wearing it, you know, winning any popularity contests, just think they did it to Yeshua first. A person that never sinned too. Neither was guile in his mouth. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, Yeshua says, they're going to persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they'll keep yours also, because you're reciting the words of the Father. Right? But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not the Father that sent me. They don't know him. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Just think, every time you go out there and preach the gospel, you might think nothing's being accomplished. You're causing judgment. They're being judged. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. You're revealing their sins, you know, showing them that they're in error. He that hates me hates my Father also. And that shows you that if you're a Karaite or in Judaism or any other religion that doesn't believe Yeshua is the Word of God made flesh, then you hate the Father. If I had not done among them the works, I mean, let's say they didn't even like my personality or my being, but they didn't even like the works, which none other man did. They had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this come to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their Torah. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, I like that, the Comforter, that's a nice word, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So these people had a special, what can I say, a special connection with the Lord there, being present with him, being around him, being witnesses that he was there, and that he died and rose from the dead, and then he showed up 40 days, and then just amazing. I mean, think about how incredible. Like, we're just reading about it. And I could feel the Lord when I read this. But I imagine being there with the whole situation. Phew. Wow. So rejoicing and tarrying is the... I should have named this rejoicing and tarrying. And if you do that, you'll be endued with power from on high. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. So some people just get offended at the least little thing. Some people can't wait to get offended. Or, I don't know. They will put you out of the synagogues. I've experienced that, but I'll be back one day, Lord willing. Yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does their God service. That should be a little g. Somebody might actually try to kill you and think they're doing their God service. That could happen anytime, especially in the day now we're living in, with the threats out there. A lot of maniacs running around. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, I hope you remember these words. I mean, we all have to remember these words, that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you, said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him, the Father that sent me. And none of you ask me where am I going? But because I said these things unto you, sorrow fills your heart. And I understand that. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Yes. Through us, we reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Those three words are very important. Reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I notice people that come and visit us once in a while, they hate righteous judgment. They hate, they don't like, they don't believe, you know, they think you could sin presumptuously and get away with it. There's always retribution, if there is forgiveness, and that's only between you and God. You know, obviously, ignorant sins, we thank God we can ask Yeshua to cover us from any sin, which is the most important thing you could ever imagine. I can't think of anything more important than knowing you're forgiven of sin, especially if the breath is going out of you. And it doesn't make a difference how old you are. There's a lot of young people meeting the Lord right this second. There's a lot of age people, just like a lot of people are being born. You know, it's an amazing thing. As people are being born, people are meeting the Lord right now. I'm just happy that I don't hear the ambulance coming this direction, and the 911, you know, emergency. But we still can make straight the way of the Lord in our lives while we're alive, you know, and make a decision. Even when we talk to people about general things in our workplaces or our jobs or our school or wherever you are, you could still speak the words of Yeshua without even, you know, in situations. And always read those Proverbs because they're really good for you. Of righteousness, he said, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Amen. Having our little congregation here every Sabbath is we're like the ark condemning the world, because there is a place here that is proclaiming truth, but everyone just shuns it, you know. We talked to people during the week too around here, and they said, "Oh yeah, we've seen your plays." I said, "Well, hello. Why don't you come and visit us?" I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Amen. So it's good to pray for revelation of God's word, for discernment, and to understand matters, situations before they even happen, and maybe the proper words to apply to a situation. You know, our tongue can give life or death. So verbally, you have to know how to speak to certain people so you can get a certain response. You should always be wise when you're talking to people, because if you say this, you'll get that response. If you say that, you'll get the other response. You could almost watch bodies too when you say certain things, because if you hit them with words of the Bible, they know it's different. I used to do that all the time, and I still do it. Hit people with words from the scriptures, and I just in a general conversation, and it still makes them, you know, it throws them off. All things that the Father had are mine. Therefore said I, Yeshua, that he shall take of mine and will show it unto you. Notice how he blends the three together, because the three are one. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. So they had to tarry, and we have to tarry in our lives, stay in the place with God that makes sure God is always lead, guiding, and directing us, and don't try to go ahead of God or behind God. When God puts it in your heart to do something, do it. Anyway, John says, he that believes on me, Yeshua says, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's that living water. The Mayim Chaim, right? But this he spake of the Spirit. See, the living waters is of the Spirit, which that they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is even available today. If you haven't ever received it, I'd go pray for it if I was you, because it gives you a little more a drive. And even Peter, you could see the total different personality of Peter. I know, unfortunately, the people, the false religions of the world, has put a frown on speaking in tongues. But that is scriptural, but it's not the tongues of people, and it's not a prayer language, and it's not any kind of made-up gibberish. But it's when the Spirit gives utterance, and when God speaks right through you, you know, it's a whole different thing. We are of God, John says, and I could say that too here. We are of God. I know that for a fact, the God of Israel. He that knows God hears us. And I can tell the other people, the ones that don't, that are not of God, they don't hear us. I know that. They think they're of God, but they're not. Just think they're not of God. They're deceived. And we're not saying this out of pride. John's not saying this out of pride. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Just think of the people that even visit us. We could see all the errors that proceed out of their mouth. Seriously. Well, in closing, this is not a long study today. Please remember, you're a chosen generation. Those couple of words there are just a big time to think about. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are a gem of God, a precious stone. We're the temple of the living God. God wants to be in us. That's why everywhere you go, you have to be the temple of the living God. You can't be doing anything else that the temple of the living God would be doing or God wouldn't be doing. You know, always try to think of those little phrases I came up with. You know, if Jesus, would you be doing that if Yeshua was looking right at you? Or would you be doing that certain thing if you knew the Lord was coming back? Or you're going to go meet the Lord any second? Would you even be thinking of that? You know, there's all kinds of little terms you can come up with. We're supposed to be the light of the world. So if you're the light of the world, would you be stealing? No. Would you be lying? No. Would you be deceiving people? No. Would you be doing the wrong things? No. I mean, you're the only little light of the world wherever you live. You may not think too much of yourself, but God has chosen you. You might think sometimes, well, I'm just useless. No, wherever you are, you're supposed to be the light of the world, right? And you're supposed to be the temple of the living God. And being holy is really important. So as much as you can in your life, I only can say, try to restore the forgotten calendar of God. Everyone's using Pope Gregory's calendar and other calendars. Try to restore the forgotten Torah, the law of God, that was given tomorrow, spiritually again. Try to restore the food laws. Most people eat anything. You guys know that. You got to watch everything you do today. Try to restore the seven Sabbaths. A sign. Seven. Everything sort of connects. Restore the seven other holy convocations, Sabbaths, and the feasts. Try to restore the feasts of God, which most people never even heard of. We tell people, oh, tomorrow is the Pentecost, Feast of the Weeks. And they don't even ask. The average person should ask, what is that? But because the devil is there, they don't even hear it. They just continue on with the conversation. Obviously, if somebody walked up to us and said, tomorrow is blah, 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 something you didn't know, first thing you would say is, oh, what is that? Because that would be a normal way to respond. But most people are, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's got their brains on who knows what. So try to restore as much scripture as you can in people, or try to do as much as you can in this little lifespan God gave us. I was thinking about time this morning. You know, of course, this has nothing to do with God, but you know, they're on the radio, they're advertising the 50th anniversary of the Beatles. You know, most, and I thought 50 years passed of a certain album. And I thought, 50 years passed, and here I am today, I'm still, I thought, what? I'm 50, you know, think about, and then I thought about my company I used to have. You know, I closed it down in 93. That's like 23 years ago. Like 23 years ago. Feels like it should be, huh? Think about that. When, like, as you get older, you look back at things and, like, how did that happen? How did all that time pass? That's why, you know, it's good to, you know, think about your time that you're spending on the planet and try to do as much as you can for God. Just think, we've been doing this now how many years?
16 years.
At least 16 years. Boy, that's not, doesn't sound too good out of all the years we've lived, but at least 16 years passed since we've been keeping the Sabbath and the feasts, and, or maybe 17 years, 16. I mean, think about it. Think about when you showed up. How many years passed? You know, just passed. I mean, I remember when I met Brother Zach there. That was, how many years ago was that? About 6 years ago. He just strolling in out of nowhere in Sunnywood, what was it, Sunnywood Village?
Or Drive.
Sunnywood Drive. He just popped in out of nowhere. I looked at this guy walking in thinking, I wonder what he's all about. And then here comes Sister Teresa, you know, a phone call, what was it, 7 years ago? 8 years ago? 2008. So just think about that. 2008. Isn't that weird? 2008. Yeah. Yeah, it's like almost like make-believe. It, doesn't that seem strange? It just, time just goes like that. I was thinking, you know, Lord willing, if, you know, if I hope, I'm, hope I make it to 66, you know, but it'll be 2017. I mean, 2020. Right? Wow. Well, anyway, don't be as some of the people before us, okay? And in the book of Hosea, it says, this is a horrible testimony that was left for the people, a record that was given of the people that lived before us. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That's what God says. A lot of churches don't like these verses. That thou should be no priest unto me. See, we're supposed to be kings and priests. But because you rejected it, God says you're not going to do that. This is the testimony of the people that lived before us. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law, the Torah of your God, I will also forget your children. God says that. Wow. And I think about all the ancestors of a lot of these people that broke God's commandments. A lot of their ancestors were all forgotten. A lot of them died in a very horrible deaths and through world wars and different situations, and they just rejected God, and they still reject Him today. I mean, it's even today. So remember, we did it again. We counted the seven Sabbaths, not Omers. Some people are still counting the Omer, which is stupid. Make sure you know, I always think, make sure you know what you're, what's coming out of your lips. What are you saying? You know, where did I get that from? Where did I hear that from? And always verify everything. You know, people are counting the Omer. It's ridiculous. When everybody knows, we know it's a sheaf of barley, right? So tomorrow is a Sabbath, Chag Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, Chag HaKatzir, and Pentecost. So that will be tomorrow, Lord willing. So Shabbat Shalom, see you tomorrow, Lord willing. If we're around, I'll see you tomorrow. God bless you, and may God always be with you and lead, guide, and direct you in everything that you could imagine. And may God help us, and may you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Amen. In Yeshua's name, amen. God bless you. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And I'm going to get off the mic, and may God be with you.